Okay. Wow. Okay. It's gonna be really emotional.
There is no loss for being honest.
The real work of life is the work that we do inside ourselves.
The responsibility we feel towards the world, like questioning, challenging,
say something.
Raw and vulnerable and open conversation.
That was the best part.
I'm scared of the friendship.
Taking a breath.
Just talk.
Shame and guilt. Vulnerabilities.
That was about to be something.
What does it really mean to be friends?
We trust you.
The real work that we do is overcoming our insecurities every day and learning how to love more.
And as examples of the change we want to see in the world.
Just talk.
Taking a breath.
So if we just take a breath.
My face is on fire from the tacos.
To have healthier relationships with women, they need healthier relationships with other men.
The real work of life is the work that we do inside ourselves.
So I'm in an open relationship with my husband, and my husband and I sold our house 10 months ago. We have twins that are 4 years old, we travel around the world, and this is my boyfriend.
Hi!
Perfect! Hi.
Do you feel jealous? The answer is probably yes, occasionally. Does that jealousy inhibit you from living the life that you want? Okay, if it's another yes, then my friends, I believe that it doesn't have to be that way. We created a whole online course so that we could take our learnings from our experiences and give that to you so that it can be supportive in you transforming those feelings of jealousy into a really powerful tool for growth. Seriously. So on the course, which is available at a pay what you want level, yep, that's right. You go in there and pay what feels comfortable for you, go figure, that you are able to join us in walking through how your thoughts affect the feelings of jealousy, how your emotional body does, how important it is to heal, and then walking through your fears and insecurities, and finally getting to what it is that you might need or want from a partner or in a relationship and learn how to communicate that. Once you get that down, my friends, jealousy will become a tool for you. So I invite you to head over to amoreepodcast.com or just click the link in our bio from Instagram, and you can go pay what you want, do the course, tell us what you think about it, and then hopefully those crazy feelings of jealousy are not as strong and you get to actually enjoy your relationships a little bit more. Okay, back to the podcast.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, Megan.
I'm so excited for this conversation. Ridiculously excited.
Completely mutual. I love connecting with you. I love like all the space I feel in my heart around these connections that maybe even haven't like actually manifested yet in the physical, but like I feel all the potential for connection with you. So this really just feels like a treat to sit down and like that we've created this space feels so nurturing.
Well, I love that. Ditto. So if anybody hasn't listened to the podcast before, I did record one with you and Connor, and that was about a year ago.
Wow.
So please go back and listen to that one. Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? What I want to focus on in this one is you and I and being female in this world and connecting on all things. And we love having the same conversation in the world about ethical non-monogamy and relationships and love and all that good stuff. You are an entrepreneur. So you have created this as your business, as your livelihood, and you are a mom. And you have multiple partners. And I'm just like, I just want to connect with you, be seen, be heard, figure out your, like, how are you doing this? And how can I learn from you? And I can share in that regard too. And I want to connect and put it out there for all of the women, not just women, but specifically female identifying and having kids. It's like, it adds this extra variable. So you and I were talking right before we recorded this.
About how we
recorded something for your show, for your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have not checked it out, you've got so many, so many videos. You are a prolific creator, you and Connor. You've got 60,000+ subscribers. So go there if you have not experienced that. But what we did is you invited us on your channel. And so you and I made the connection and then we had the guys there. So Connor was there and then Marty and Kyle were there and they had a beautiful conversation. And obviously we were all talking, creating the space, but what I said to you was we're more the context holders. Like we created the space for the content to be there and the guys were making beautiful connections. So it's, I mean, I'm just going to leave it at that. I just said a whole lot. I'm going to see what is resonating for you in that.
Yeah. I love that so much. And it's so cool. I feel super fluid in how I identify, and something that we actually hit on in that interview talking about is just like divine balance and how we all have masculine and feminine energy in us. And I do really love the part of my feminine that I feel like you and I both have this fire this lifetime to create containers for people to connect, for more resonance, for like the reemergence of community and family in tribe in this bigger context. And I think that's a huge vision with this exploration of non-monogamy. It's really just, and it's like a huge vision in general for how I think we can all thrive. So I love that. I love that. I feel like that's part of what I really feel resonance with you around, is like, we love creating these spaces. And it did, it really felt like this was something that was just like a hell yes for you and me, like super easy, quick to set up. We're like, yes, yes. And the guys were like excited to come into it. And I feel like it is that, like I made the metaphor before this, which is fun, because I really feel like I don't generally make these metaphors, but it just feels fun and lighthearted and true. It's like, we are the feminine container. And then the masculine like comes in, it asserts itself and like does its thing, like has this really powerful impact, this connection, you know, like everything that was exchanged between them, and then leaves. And I love that. It just felt like these roles were really well executed in super like, in their divine form. It felt like just really beautiful.
Yeah. And I felt like you and I during that recording too, were like, oh yeah, we know that there's like, we're partially responsible for the connection that they made as men, and such a beautiful, healthy connection that was happening in that moment, because they'd never spoken to each other. And we're just like sitting back going, yeah. Yeah. Like we created something here. Yeah. But I feel like that's what we're doing on, like you said, a much bigger level. So that's our big vision. I'm so excited to find out, how did you get here? I mean, you have so many recordings, but could you just do a quick summary of how did you get on this path to where you are right now?
Yeah, this is a great question. Oh man. So there's so many ways that this has come about for me. One thread that's been with me my whole life is that this feeling of tribe and community and like non-traditional family, or maybe ultra traditional if you go back far enough, but like a, not a nuclear family, but a kind of like radical and different looking family, has been a part of my whole life. So I grew up with my mom and with my dad. They were divorced from when I was 2, and I had step siblings and step parents and family or friends that lived in our homes as family members. And just like a lot of this, like doors are wide open, different people are coming and going. You know, my mom taught our best friend's family's kids how to drive. Like I taught their younger sibling how to ride a bike. Like a lot of that interweaving, like always at that friend's family's house, like just a lot of co-parenting across families and also sharing of resources and time and energy. And it was really normal. And everybody was, I feel like, encouraged to be themselves. That's something also that's been with me. Being weird or different is kind of revered in my family, which is so cool, you know? Like,
I love that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And which isn't to say it was like easy for everybody in my family to accept elements of my life, like non-monogamy. And also I felt their genuine desire to love me there. And now I feel like it is more the norm for me, like, not for them, but for me in their eyes. So there was that thread. Then there was like with me from a young age, I felt like I was naturally attracted to multiple people. It was just like, that was normal. And I can see ways it manifested. Like I had my partner at school and then like my partner in the neighborhood. And it didn't really occur to me until later on that like I wasn't supposed to have both, or like I shouldn't talk about them. And then I was like, oh, that's not okay or something. But initially it felt like I was just doing it. And I also felt a lot of jealousy. So I felt both sides of this like monogamous storyline I had been taught. And also, yeah, just, I think I was just like acting out these different parts, and it's fun to reflect back on them and see how like, yeah, this is in my nature. And so after having a number of like long-term monogamous partnerships, I realized like, I can't do it again in that way. And I think I gave up on the idea for a while that it was possible to have a lifelong partnership with someone. And what I saw is, like, I can't authentically live my truth and commit to another person in that way. And then I met Connor, and he said, like, I always remember this one conversation. So we met as friends. We had this, like, ongoing friendship. And then one day he was like, hey, I'm totally in love with you. This is all long distance. And I was like, oh man, me too. Me too. And I had a partner at the time, and that was cool. It was just, like, always assumed from the beginning that we'd be non-monogamous. And there were a lot of challenges right from the beginning. And one of the things he said to me was, like, we had come up against this conflict, and he said, you know, Britt, I figured it out. We can just do whatever we want and, like, make space for it. Like, we can just have space for whatever could come up and just decide to, like, have this epic partnership together. And it, like, the way it landed for me was this belief that I could have that authentic truth with myself and be in partnership with this other being, with the vision being, like, forever. Wow. So yeah, that's kind of, those are some of the things that kind of led me to where I am. And that was 7 years ago when we started our, like, romantic connection. And it's just been an epic evolution over those 7 years. And then, you know, with other partners, and now having another full-time partner as well.
Yeah. Describe a little bit your current life or current living situation.
Yeah. So I currently have two partners. Bridget is my other partner, and she and I live in the same house right now. Connor, Bridget, and I. So Connor and I together since 7 years ago, and always lived together, traveled together. I met Bridget, just, like, instantly had this really deep connection. And after about a year of me exploring that connection, and I had just given birth, it was like 2 months into, maybe even just a month, when Ilya was just a month old, Connor was like, hey, I think we should all move in together. And we had taken this epic road trip, and it went really well. We all worked really well together as co-parents. I think that we still do all co-parent super well together. We're all such badass beings and badass leaders. And so we jumped in head first, you know? And upon, like, reflecting back on that, I can see a lot of ways that, like, I wasn't necessarily checking in with all of myself when I said yes to that, because I think at the time what was coming up for me was, like, I really wanted more time with Bridget, and I didn't know how to create space for that in my relationship with Connor, because it was like I was already kind of pushing us to new limits of, like, I'm spending more time with this other person than we've ever shared with other people. Like, I'm feeling more love and connection than we've ever shared. And it felt like he was constantly being stretched, and I was constantly, like, wanting more. And so when he presented this thing, like, let's all move in together, it was like, okay, I'll do anything to, like, be able to spend more time with this person. And it made a lot of sense in terms of parenting. But, like, really on a deep level, what I thought was, like, that's crazy. Like, you guys have so much more to develop in your relationship. And I had so much more to develop, like, being in connection with both of them, because I felt kind of, like, frozen sometimes, you know, like, not sure what my role is when we're all together. Oh man, but we're all.
I can so relate.
Yeah, I'm so.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we jumped in, and we did that for, like, a year and a few months, close to a year and a half. And then Connor was really like, I need to honor myself. And he chose to move out. So Bridget and I still live in the home that we all moved into together. Connor moved out. He ended up getting a house half mile down the road in the same neighborhood. And now I share my time. So I live, I'd say this is my primary home. And I also am over at Connor's a lot. And we, like, all share a rotating schedule with time with Ilya and time, me having time with both of them.
Yeah. I mean, I can so relate and love you for that spirit where you're just like, let's try it out. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. There's no better way to learn. I mean, we did that. And in all honesty, I kind of had the same scenario. We had sold our house in Chicago, didn't even have a fixed location. And I still wanted to maintain a relationship with Kyle as we were traveling. So Marty was like, well, why doesn't he just come travel with us and stay with us? And so we were kind of in that forced position as well. And again, like, that learning curve is so intense because, you know, those relationships are still getting sorted out. You know, I was still developing the relationship with Kyle. Marty and I were still going through the changes, and Marty and Kyle were forming a relationship. So in polyamory, it is exponential, the relationships that you're dealing with. So, but I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything. I mean, that's the moral of the story. I'm so glad that we traveled together. I'm so glad we lived together. We lived together for 5 months with Kyle and Marty and my kids in New Zealand. That was after traveling a whole bunch. And then here, when Marty was reestablishing his relationship with his partner, when we moved to Costa Rica, she lived with us for 3 months. Wow. But that was crazy because they were still sorting out their relationship. They hadn't lived together. They hadn't seen each other in a year. It was like, I mean, now I feel like we've got a really good living situation right now. Marty and I are together with the kids, and then both of our partners have separate places, and we just kind of go back and forth. And sometimes we're all together, but we kind of had to go through that learning curve. And I don't know if there's another way. I mean, looking back on it, it's kind of like you don't know what you don't know. And I love that part of me and that part of you that's like, well, let's try it out. Let's see how it goes.
Wow. I love hearing about that. That's the kind of stuff that I'm just so excited to be, just to hear about from you, like that wisdom, storytelling too, like wisdom of shared experiences through these stories. And yeah, thanks for sharing that. There's so much resonance there.
Oh, okay. So I have another question for you, because this is another parallel. Because we both have our livelihoods, our ability to earn money is through, it's kind of through our relationships. It's through what we've set up here. So I'm wondering for you, if you ever hit moments like I hit when Marty and Kyle stopped talking to each other for about 4 or 5 months. I felt like in a really hard spot. And I was doing my best to try and maintain both relationships, right? Both like individually with Marty, individually with Kyle, and realize, oh my God, Amory is us. Like it's all of us. And I felt, talk about insecurity. I was like, oh, what did I do? I like tied all of this together. And I was really trying to maintain a space of, okay, this is going to be okay. Our relationships are going to be okay. And do I have to dissolve Amory? Like what does this become? You know, and I'm luckily, I just held out. I was like, I'm gonna keep doing my stuff. I'm gonna do self-love. I'm gonna do all the stuff I can do. And then trust in the universe that it's gonna work out somehow. But have you ever hit moments of insecurity in that realm?
Oh my God. Yes, this is such a great topic. Yes, I have. And I also just, I feel this, like, I love that you did that and that you held out and that you were sharing what you were focused on, because to me, that's such a big part of this whole journey is like, yes, it's about, in this case, like all three of you. And sometimes it's about your individual journeys and strengthening your own connection with yourself so that you can have more space for Amory. And I know that from firsthand experience, whenever we create space, it's not space from each other. It's space to connect with ourselves. So that way we can, from that space, actually be in connection with each other, because we connect to each other through ourselves. So it's like almost like drawing a string back through your heart. And that's how you connect to others, as opposed to like, maybe in these times where we're trying to integrate new relationships and we're like putting that string out as like our energy is flowing away from us. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Those are wise words. Those are very wise words. Yeah. We connect through others, through ourselves. Ooh. And yeah, it is so much this journey. I just keep coming back to myself again and again and again. Like where are my fears still? Where am I feeling insecure? How is this working for me so I can become more secure in all that I am, so that no matter what happens, that I don't have to blame or resent or, you know, put my energy out, because even that energy is energy lost, right? So if I'm looking at my partners and I'm blaming my partners, I'm resenting my partners, that is literally life energy that I'm like, here you go. I'm going to be angry at you. So take all of my energy so I can't do anything. And I'm going to sit here disempowered. So I had to, during those 4 or 5 months, I had to keep calling that energy back to me, being like, Megan, no, seriously, no blame. Like what is that going to serve you? Blame, resent, anger. I had to keep learning, and I'm still learning, I think, keep learning how to process that and to use that energy for me to be the creator. And literally like creator, making podcasts, making like the self-love journey, or making things. I mean, you're a prolific creator as well. And I see that you've like mastered that art of how do I alchemize my current experiences into something that I can share. So is that something that's really formal for you? Did you learn it? How did you learn that? Because I feel like I'm still learning. And I look at you as a very big example and inspiration.
Thank you. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I feel like I can kind of, those two themes really go hand in hand for me as well, like using that time as a creative fuel. So to answer your first question, I have had times where Bridget and Connor aren't talking to each other. And actually, when Connor moved out, he just wanted a big space. You know, I think initially for him, it was like 6 months. And then just like, I think it ended up being a little more than that, just to not have to be in connection with Bridget every day. And I think something like, this is my observation and my analysis of their relationship, was like that they sometimes felt like forced to be around each other or have a connection because we were all living together and they were choosing to connect with me. And I think I had this feeling that like, in order for me to have relationships with them, I needed them to be in connection. Mm-hmm. And I remember you speaking to something similar on our call, and it was so liberating for me to find like, no, actually I don't, because for so long, my biggest fear was like that they wouldn't have a connection, or that like somehow things would like break apart. And I just felt like I wouldn't be able to handle that. And actually it ended up being the best thing for all of us, because I think what I needed was to strengthen my connection with myself and then individually with them, and to not have it be like, I'm depending on this person to connect with this person for my security. Like that's crazy and totally disempowering. And I knew that the whole time we were together. And also, you know, you see how one person is affected by the other, and you feel so much compassion and empathy. And like in the beginning, there was this definite like tendency on my part to be like, hey, I think so-and-so is like maybe needing a little bit of this and that. And it's like over time, just like, oh my God, that's so not my place or that person's place. So, wow, I learned so much so fast. And then when we all took our space, you know, like essentially it went from like we did the whole thing where just the way we transition Ilya, since Ilya is only 2 years old, we tend to have like 2 to 3 hour chunks with Ilya, because I don't want to be away from Ilya for longer than that. We're still breastfeeding full time, et cetera, et cetera. So that means like I started doing all the transitions. So it was like, if Connor would have Ilya and Ilya would go to Bridget next, like I would create that transition so they didn't have to be in contact. So like originally it was like a lot of work, and now it's just like our flow and it works great. And recently they started talking again. But you know, it's like what I've learned through all that is like how I feel, my sense of security and my depth and continual evolution of relationship with either of them actually doesn't have to do with their connection with each other. Mm-mm. And if I think it does, it's more painful. And they've gone through like so many different evolutions. And I've watched myself attach my feeling of security or joy to like, oh, they're really connecting, or like, oh my gosh, we all have this like really beautiful family, or, oh, it'll look like this, it'll look like that. And then it changes and I felt pain. So now it's like, cool, you're talking, cool. No, you're not, cool. Like, oh, you like them today? Oh, you don't, cool. Like whatever. And that's been ultimate surrender for me, because I had and still hold this vision very much of community and like one family unit, not like I'm building a family over here and a family over here. And I think that's kind of like a big part of what I'm here for this generation, because I think that's what my family did really well, was form two separate family units. Mm. And I feel like I'm here to be like, yeah, and we can all come together and have like one family where everybody can still get all the nourishment they get from having those safe containers within this bigger container.
Wow. So, wow.
So that's still my vision. And I think it's both of their vision too. And you can't rush those kind of things, because we are exactly where we are because of so many factors, and everything they perceive or any fear that they have come up or are working through or any sort of like trust that they need to foster within themselves and their relationship is absolutely right on point. So there's like nothing for me to finagle there. Like it's all just authentic truth, like working itself out. So with all the energy that I was putting into like trying to do something that's none of my business, I've gotten to like refocus that energy into my creative pursuits. And yeah, I love that. I love that you and I have chosen to share the vulnerability of this journey in a way that also propels us forward as powerful entrepreneurs or business owners, because it really is such deep work. And I think we're in the unique roles of feeling so open to sharing the like all of it with people. And I'm just like, I absolutely love it. So yeah, I don't know if I'm hitting on the last part of your question, but I feel
worries. I got
rephrase it. Yeah, if you want more.
I got sidetracked back down to, oh my God, I'm seeing a mirror image of myself. so much, because I feel like I needed to go through that learning curve of, yeah, Marty and Kyle's relationship is not my responsibility. In fact, if anything, I had developed this kind of righteous view of kitchen table polyamory, where everybody gets along with everybody. That's the only way to do it. And life just keeps showing me otherwise. Like, Megan, every time you think you got the right way, like, here's another perspective. Here's an experience for you to go through. And yeah, I've had to pull myself back from having to jump into control or be a part of other people's relationships in a way, because like you said, it's not empowering for them to they should be allowed to figure out how much energy they want to put in. And if anything, I have felt that on the opposite side, there've been times when Marty's partner and I haven't been really connected or going through some conflict. And I felt the pressure from Marty. This was, you know, a while back, a year or two ago, of like, hey, you know, don't you think you should talk to her? And you know, that doesn't feel super empowering. So I feel like I've had to learn it from both sides. Like, okay, I want the space to make the relationships with the people how I want to make them. And we figure out as natural set points and vice versa, Megan, like, don't interfere in other people's stuff. I mean, I can set boundaries, and that's what I think I needed to learn. Like, what is my boundary around this? What conversation am I willing to participate in? Why and how, and then where am I not? And where does it drain my energy? And yeah, it's helped me create a much more balanced state for myself. Not always, though. I always have to learn by being imbalanced. Like, oh, and I lost that shit over there. And then, oh, came back over here and I'm controlling. And then I'm checked out. And then I'm controlling. And then maybe I'll hover right around in the middle. Like, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, like you said that, I feel like I've learned that balance actually is attained through hitting your edges or like going past them. And I think that's a good thing for us to just say out loud for anybody else who's like feeling like they're, you know, swaying from side to side, because I think that is part of finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. You got to know, like, what's my capability over here? What am I over here? And being pushed and pushing ourselves. And I do totally see myself in your energy as well, because I think we've got this similar, we'll call it an aggressive vision of what's possible. And I like that. I'm sure I'm going to have to learn to be unattached or lovingly, you know, detached to my vision. But I feel like what I can see is so possible that I get frustrated when there's the roadblocks in between. And I forget, you know, that is part of the process. Like, Megan, just, this is all part of it. And if anything, if I feel so pulled for this vision of the future, I have to remember that my most powerful states are in the allowance states, not in the pushing states. And I, you know, that's part of my energy that I do like too. I like that I'm just like you, willing to go out there and be assertive in different things, but I also have to cultivate this allowance energy. How have you learned about those two parts of yourself? Because I think you started talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Wow. My ex-husband, who I had a monogamous partnership, was just visiting, and he was really reflecting on how much I've changed in that regard. And that I was so much like, you know, trying to just so type A, trying to like make things happen all the time. And he's Costa Rican. He's just like super chill. You know, that's like,
pura vida.
Pura vida, tranquila, like just chill out. And I think that's one of the reasons I was attracted to him, was because he brought so much of that. Also linked with confidence. And I think both of those are things that I learned from that relationship. And it's just been really like finding where to put my energy, I think, because that's, and I wonder if you resonate with this, like I have so much energy. I think this is part of the reason I have two partners, is because like,
oh my God, yes.
And like just thinking about what I used to do before meeting Bridget, I'd had partners or like lovers or friends. And she's just the first person who was really like, wow, I want to like spend more and more time with you and really cultivate this deep connection, this deep life together. But so what I was doing before was just like putting my energy into all these different spaces, you know, like my physical practices and business. And I felt like Connor, it would sometimes be draining maybe for him to be around me and feel like he should be in that energetic space when he wasn't like feeling that. So I really learned how to take that energy that maybe I was initially holding out, like, Connor, do you want to do this thing together? Do you want to do this thing? And I got really good at being, quote, rejected, like so good at hearing Connor's no. That's something I hear regularly and like love it, because it's just, and he loves to hear my offers because he feels so loved, and he loves to be able to say yes or no and know that like my love won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I had to learn that lesson, because initially it was like, you get that no, and if you take it personally, then your energy is like gone, you know?
Yes.
And so then it's like no creativity, no creative pursuits. Like, and so instead what I've learned is like a kid, you know, who's not accustomed to taking things personally. It's like, hey, do you want to play? No. Okay. Like, I'll go do this other thing. So I've learned that, like, cool. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know. Like, I have the confidence and the excitement about so many other things. I'll go do this other thing instead. And I've really harnessed the power of that for business as well.
Wow.
And then, yeah, just, I think I do gravitate towards partners who are more on that yin side. I think Bridget and Connor both are, Bridget definitely has more of that fire and that power. And she also like definitely more in that restful space than I am. Like, she helps me remember to prioritize self-care in a certain way that I wouldn't necessarily, you know, like remember to like take a bath or like just have that sensual time or like whatever it is. So maybe that's one of the ways that I find that balance, because I am naturally like an action-oriented person. I want to do a lot of things. And yeah, the people around me really help me remember to stay balanced, because I will prioritize relationship. And if my partner, like, I want to watch a movie, or I want to do like other things that I wouldn't normally do, it really, it helps me say yes to it.
I could just say ditto, ditto. And I was laughing to myself as you were talking, thinking it's probably really great that I have two partners, because I think I'm, and don't ever want to say I'm too much, but like my energy can be so intense. I'm sure Kyle and Marty would agree. It's actually really good that they both get time separate. Yes. And that's why I'm actually loving this relationship, or the, not only the relationship, but the living arrangement, because I get time. I get part-time with Marty, part-time with Kyle, and part-time by myself with the kids. I'm just like, oh, that feels so good. And yeah. And I'm like, maybe it is really great. I spread out my energy a little bit. And yeah. And I do also have partners that kind of calm me down more. I mean, Kyle definitely chills me out more. Marty and I used to joke that our love is ambitious love, but I think he's also exploring that self-care and that, you know, and that calm and yeah, that piece as well. So, okay. I have to ask you about what changed for you when you became a mom. So a lot of things were happening in your life at that time. And I know you said that was right when, shortly after Ilya's birth, that you decided to move in with Bridget as well. And I'm sure there's just so much changing during that period, but what changed, and how have you been processing that as you grow individually and in your relationships?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. That's such a fun question. There's so many things that have changed. And what came to mind, here are a couple things that came to mind when you said that. Was like, the first one is like, I got another partner, like, you know, so it's like my partnership went from like having myself, Connor and Bridget to like also having Ilya, and Ilya being, you know, Ilya's 2 years and 2 months now, but for so long, a newborn baby like really needs that. And with the vision I have for how I want to be Ilya's mom, it's really just like being there for them whenever. So that's the biggest change, is that like, and I think I foresaw this. I remember Connor and I talking about this before getting pregnant. I remember saying, Connor, I'm not going to have the same energy available to give to you that I did once. And we acknowledged that. And also the reality of that is really different. So like, and just on a practical level, there were so many times, especially all living together, where there'd be something coming up all the time that people wanted to process. And it was like, how available can I really be while also like seeing to this baby who needs me and like isn't really available to have an in-depth conversation right now? So that was huge. Just feeling like so much of my energy and resources were now going to this child, which was really life-giving for me, and also just dramatically shifted what I'm available for in relationship. And that's something I love about our partnership, because right from pregnancy, I realized like when I was really nauseous in the beginning of pregnancy, I was like, Connor, I don't want to cuddle. Like, I don't want to touch. Like, please go hang out with, like, I'm so excited that you have people that like you can cuddle with and make love with. And like, I support that. And like, don't touch me right now, you know? So it's just like, just needing to put more energy into myself and Ilya. And I also think that's one of the reasons I attracted Bridget, who is such a caregiver. And I was pregnant when I first started connecting with her. And she's so good at nurturing me in this specific way. And Connor's good at nurturing me in this other specific way. And it's so complimentary. So I feel like, yeah, that's also something that's been really powerful. So that's like a big shift, is just like, I don't have the same energy available for those relationships, or like time and energy, or for my friendships. Like, oftentimes when I'm making plans with friends, it's like, cool, I'm available to meet at this time with Ilya. Like, I have 6 hours a day right now where I don't have Ilya. And I know I do business, mindfulness, and movement. And that's like my day. And otherwise it's like, I'm connecting with people. I'm connecting with my partners one-on-one after Ilya's asleep. And that's kind of non-negotiable for me. And I have some wiggle room for like, oh, okay, we want some spontaneity to make love during the day or whatever. And also I know that means like my movement, mindfulness, or business takes a hit. So it's made me have to be super great about time management. It's also shifted how I connect with the rest of the world, because in any time that I have that doesn't fall into those 6 hours, or like after Ilya goes to sleep and I'm like sharing intimate time with my partners, I'm no longer connecting with new people, or like having fiery like lovemaking with a new person, or just like going out late at night and doing acro jams. So like, yeah, just my identity in the world, if I were to like name an identity for me, it's much more like mother first, and then partner, and then like business person. And I think it used to be, I mean, I didn't have that mother role, and all of a sudden it's taking first place.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And it continues to shift as your child grows. Or in my case, my kids will be 6 in 2 weeks. And when they were born, I mean, my world flipped upside down. I went from not being a mom to being a mom of two.
I just can't even look mine. Did you guys know you were having two, by the way?
We did. We had to do IVF. I really wanted to be a mom. I really wanted to have kids and have this experience and bring life into the world. And luckily on the third try, we got pregnant with twins. So it was huge and life-changing. And at that time it was only Marty and I, and we were monogamous, and it was still such a huge shift. So in some ways I was reflecting on this, I think just yesterday in a conversation, that our world, because I was on a polyamorous parenting panel and we were discussing things, and I'm like, for kids, it doesn't actually make a difference who you're living with. It's just another adult. You know, for kids, they're not thinking, are you having sex with this person or you're not? No, they just know this is the person that I played Legos with. This is the person I can roughhouse with. Like, this is the person that will give me some treats. Like, that's all they know. And so we were, for the first 2 years, we had an au pair from Brazil live with us. But I was so jealous, Brittany. I was so jealous of her because I was working full time and she was raising my babies, you know, because I had to leave by like 8 a.m. and then I got home by 6 p.m. And it was, I didn't understand it. You know, my kids were 3 months old when I went back to work and I was ridiculously jealous of her, and Marty couldn't understand. And I didn't have the language. I didn't even know what was going on, except I just felt like all the time with her. And I wish I had known then what I know now, but in reality, that's really when I started to process my feelings of jealousy. It was really to understand like, okay, my babies are better off with, but it's more love. This woman loves them. This woman is giving of her energy and taking care of them. And what a beautiful gift that is. But also I had to deal with this part of me that was like, but I'm not giving it to them. And I'm not giving them little kisses on the forehead during the middle of the day. And I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot to go through. And that was the first 3 years of my kids' lives, more or less. So at the time, I'm trying to think of my own timeline and when things started to shift. It was, I knew I wanted more time with my kids. And that was around the time where we were like, oh, our life in Chicago is just not working. Like, we can't afford it. We don't like it. It's not working. We need to like hit the reset button. And that's when I basically, so that was a really big shift as well. Because like you said, when you know that you have 6 hours to yourself, that's really important time, really important time. And that's, you have still an identity for yourself during that time. And then when you don't have any time for yourself, or it's, you know, an hour piecemeal here or there, that's a huge shift as well. So I think all of us have to go through, it doesn't matter if you have multiple partners or not, but when you think about where am I in the world, where am I putting my energy and attention? Do I need more solo time? Do I need time to move my body more? Do I need more purpose? And I would call purpose, like, thankfully, work for me. Sometimes people's work isn't their purpose. That's just a way to make money. So it's like, how do we allocate our time in the day? And how do we empower ourselves to shift that if it isn't working for us? And things are constantly changing, right? So as Ilya gets bigger, I'm so curious to see how things go for you. And I just know where my kids are at. And I can only imagine when they're 16, not six, you know, how different that feels.
Yeah, I love that. It's so fun that you have kids that are 4 years older. So I can like get a glimpse into what might be coming.
happy to share. And again, it's parenting is just so individual, just like polyamory. It's like, this is how I parent. I don't know. I'm still learning what works for you. How does that work? Actually, there's so many similarities in as we open up and understand that there's no right way to do anything. I think we take things less personal, and I think it's made parenting a whole lot easier. I'm like, ooh, how are they doing that? Oh yeah, that seems great. Like, I'm going to take that piece of advice. And I think if I hadn't been practicing polyamory, I mean, there's such a transferable skill set into not, you know, just kind of like looking at how other people are doing things and testing things out and then trying it and not like taking it personally if it doesn't go well. It's like, well, let's try something new. But yeah, what else? Oh, can I ask you, if you are currently on a learning curve right now, what would you say your learning curve is?
Well, besides the constant learning curve of true love and like what that actually means to me, I mean, that's definitely my biggest one. Yeah, that's the biggest one. I'm going to sit with it and see if there's something else that comes up, because that feels like such a almost like an abstract one to explain, because it's just interwoven into everything and choosing that path of allowing and supporting. No, that's really what it is. And it just shows up in so many different ways, Megan. It's like, is it myself that I'm having trouble resisting, like that I'm fighting against right now? Or is it a reality I'm having trouble accepting? Or is it like something I'm perceiving about my partner or the reaction they just had or like the reaction I just had? And it's all the same thing. And what I'm learning is like, it already happened. It's not helpful to resist what already happened. It doesn't make a difference. It's just painful. And like, I can judge it all I want, but it's not going to change it. And actually, like, yeah, having judgments is painful because ultimately what I get to decide is how I feel about things, not even what happens. So, yeah. So I'm just learning this one over and over again, you know, whether it's like, I've had really deep experiences with Bridget and with Connor recently. And it's just all the same message for me, which is like, open up, you know, open that heart. When I feel the pain get hit, open it up. Like that's the best time. When I've been taught like it's not safe because something hurts and I like need to close and cower, actually that's the best time to open up. And it's this moment, you know, and it's a choice, and it's so empowering to realize, like I was going through this morning, Bridget and I were having this big, like just this talk, and I was feeling like, this is really a powerful time to hold space for Bridget. Yay. I love like getting that opportunity. And I'm like, I got this. You know, I'm listening to her and I'm having my internal dialogue, and it's like, great, you're doing great. Ooh, that hurt a little bit. Okay, breathe. Yeah, like good, breathe. And it's like, wow, it feels so good. Like, what would life feel like without triggers? Like, I got this. And then it's like, she said something else. And then I'm like, notice this reaction. I'm about to say something. And it was like, my mind was trying to convince me like, yeah, but this is different. Like, but this is different. And this needs to be said. Like, no, now she thinks I'm doing it wrong. And I need to push against that and let her know, like, no, I'm so open right now. I have so much space for what you're saying right now. That's why I interrupted you. And like, that's why I'm space right now. And it's just like that, you know, like I feel it rising up. And it's like, no, like just don't. And just breathe. Just don't say the thing. Like if it feels urgent, if it feels like I need to stop this person from talking and say it, it's probably not love. Like just like the same lesson hits me all day long from these different vantage points. And once in a while, I feel like I'm a rock star. Like I'm a fucking rock star. I'm rocking true love and I'll be like on a high. And then most days I'm like, I'm really good at this. And I'm such a student. I'm so like, I'm still so humbled by this every day and what it feels like really to like let my ego dissolve and just feel like totally open to, in this case, like receiving feedback about me that is potentially painful for my personality or like my stories or my parts, you know, and just like letting it and then being really aware of like letting it, but not in like a way that I'm a victim to it, just like letting it and learning it and remembering that everybody's my ally, especially my partners. Like if they're perceiving something about me, I mean, 100% of the time so far, it's been right. Like there's something they're hitting on that is right. And I want to pay attention to that and learn from it. And if I'm like getting like, like my butt in their face, like just by being like, but this thing, like I'm literally, I'm not no longer available for that lesson.
Oh my God, I love that. How did you say it? I'm putting my butt in their face,
but.
Oh my God. Ditto, 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 ditto. I could not say it enough. I'm just like, I'm so there with you. So there with you. On the, like the moments of, I got this shit. And then whack, there you go. Here's another lesson to learn. Yeah. Oh my God. And how incredible it is. You know, I don't know what this thing called consciousness in life is all about. I mean, we just get to experience it. And some days I'm in awe and some days I'm like, holy crap, this is hard. I don't know. Just to be here through it all. Cause there's nowhere that we're getting, you know, it's not like we're going to a destination here. It's all about the moment. That's it. Like that's what we got. We got the moment. I mean, this has been such an incredible conversation. I feel like we can keep talking for hours and days. Oh, yeah. And I so, so appreciate your take on life and your willingness to just be out there and share your story with the world. I think if this is your first experience of Brittany, please enter the world of Brittany and Connor, enter the world. You can find them on YouTube. Do you also have a podcast?
You know, I do have a podcast. It's really updated if you're interested about my journey through pregnancy and like that. And then since then I've recorded some on like polyamory and true love. So there's some stuff there, but I wouldn't say it's like a thriving up-to-date podcast at all.
No worries. And I do like your focus on health and wellness as well. We could have a whole other conversation about that. Maybe we will at some point. But for right now, do you have any final closing thoughts that you want to share with the Amory audience? You know, just one out of many, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. Really, I feel gratitude because I imagine you know, Megan, too. It's like when you start this kind of sharing, you're just like, it's you and a microphone or you in a video camera. And I always like just envision on the other side, these people who are like feeling great resonance and that it's adding value in a way that like I was hoping to have. I was hoping for more guidance when I started my journey. And I didn't have it and just started sharing. And the magic of it is that people showed up. And so to the people who are listening, it's like, you make this possible. And like, we really are all growing together. And maybe we don't always hear like your voices, and your presence is so powerful. And I feel such immense gratitude. I love what I do. I have the vision that everybody can do what they love and share that with the world, like from this real like inspired space, and that we can all thrive like giving and receiving in that way. So yeah, I'm just so grateful to be on your podcast, get to connect with your audience more. I love what you guys share. I feel like such deep resonance. I feel like we're creating such similar visions, and that's like all one big vision. I'm excited to connect with you more and with your audience more. So it's just a lot of gratitude and a lot of excitement about what we're doing, all of us.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. And we might plant some seeds, because I think Kyle and Marty and Connor may do a conversation as well. Yeah. So we'll just keep letting this evolve. It feels like a really beautiful friendship and connection. And hopefully I get to see you in person at some point. So I can have that on my wish list. But thank you so much for sharing yourself. And I so, so, so appreciate your time. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Amorie. Giving us your time and attention means so much to us, so we thank you. If you did enjoy this episode, please consider sharing it. You can share it with people you know or give us a shout out on social media. We love that. Remember, we've got access to a full online course, Transforming Jealousy at Pay What You Want. And we always love people joining our Amorie community as a patron. So if you've received value from this podcast or a podcast over the last 2 years, please consider joining us. Your small donations to Amorie go a long way in making us capable of continuing to produce these episodes and sharing our learnings, which we love to do, as you know. So thank you for joining us. We love you, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.